It's 28 minutes to 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday the 17th of December, after a frenetic period of power outages. We're going to start the afternoon show with a very special feature. I have guests with me in the studio from DOCRA, from the Ilembe Community Action Movement, and Ward Councillor Prebi Makan. Before we begin and before I introduce you to my guests, I just want to read a communique from DOCRA, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, demanding answers from the municipality on crippling power outages, or the power outage that we've just experienced. And it goes like this. What began as a reported cable fault with two blown jumpers, ferrules, lugs on the 33 kV line at the Driefontein substation on the 11th of December quickly spiraled into a crisis of unprecedented proportions, leaving the Dolphin Coast reeling from economic paralysis and widespread frustration during the critical festive season. This catastrophic sequence of electrical failures has not only disrupted lives, but is also, in the absence of any communicative participation by any of the executives, eroded the community's confidence in the Guadaguza municipality's ability to competently manage essential services during critical times. As the Dolphin Coast community grapples with the fallout, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, DOCRA, expresses grave concern over KDM's inadequate and amateurish handling of this major outage. The event has laid bare a troubling lack of preparedness and an absence of skilled oversight in managing one of the region's most vital utilities. Despite decades of experience with the heightened seasonal demand on essential services, KDM appeared alarmingly unprepared for a failure of this magnitude. The outage, which affected not only the southern grid, has exposed deficiencies in resource allocation and a glaring lack of contingency planning. These failures have amplified the economic and personal toll on a region already under seasonal strain. Effective communication is the bedrock of crisis management, and yet the updates provided during this outage were sporadic, inconsistent, and often contradictory. While it's understood that predicting restoration timelines is challenging, the absence of regular, clear, and centralized communication has deepened public dissatisfaction. Timely, transparent updates are not a courtesy, but an essential duty in maintaining public trust. In the age of digital communication and social media, it is easier than ever to relay relevant information to the public almost instantly. Yet, no such communication took place. DOCRA is demanding accountability and full transparency from the KDM Electricity Business Unit to restore faith in the municipality's ability to maintain this essential service. We request a detailed timeline of events surrounding the outage, addressing various critical points. And that now brings us to this afternoon's special report. I have in the studio with me the chair of DOCRA, Dion Verloon. Very good to have you at such short notice joining us, with the councillor from Ward 30, Ward 20, 6, 20. Ward 22. We'll get 22. It right third time, lucky.
3 years later, thanks, Dave.
Well, you know, it's all rock and roll to me. The ward's numbers, are, you know, we just know that you
but
are.
But she is the caucus leader, so it's all of those.
You see, there it is. And of, I have to say that at this point in time, you are the ward councillor that we can depend on when it comes to communication, the only one. And then Walter Schotter. Walter is the chair of the Ilembe Community Action Movement. Welcome to you all, folks. I'm sorry, I'm getting phone calls from my beloved in the middle of a radio interview. I'll be with you later, my darling. Thank you for phoning. And here we go. So, listen, we had a comedy of errors, except it wasn't a comedy. It was a tragedy of epic proportion. In some instances, I believe there were up to 48 hours of...
4 days.
4 days of no power in some parts of our beloved Belito region, extended region. And clearly, this is a situation that can't be allowed to continue. So, Dion, you've taken the initiative as DOCRA to demand of the municipality a whole bunch of answers to which, the questions that you've asked are good ones. The answers, I believe, are still not forthcoming.
It's a bit early, though, Dave. You know, this happened and it pr- probably only finished on Saturday, and by Sunday our electricity committee of Dhokra got together and they spent their long weekend on Sunday. Walter is integral to that team, analyzing and putting all the information together. And we could only get a letter off to the municipality yesterday, which was a holiday. So, you know, we're expecting answers within the next day or so, you know, from them. So I think it's a bit early to expect an answer now already. And hopefully the new mayor is going to take, you know, he's made big promises and it's his first 100 days and he's available and he's going to sort things out. So hopefully the new mayor is going to be calling in certain officials and get them on the red carpet and ask questions.
Well, clearly there has to be a line of reporting, and I would imagine the director of electricity, which is why I'm glad Privy is in the house, because you can possibly correct me, but I was under the impression that we had a kind of an executive that was responsible or is responsible for electrical matters. I believe his name is Mr. Mahle.
Charlie.
Okay, because I got a communication from a director called Mahle. Saying that the power would be on during the course of this afternoon. That was on Thursday. So I announced it, of course, too. You know, oh, don't worry, folks. I'm sorry that we're you know, this sweltering heat, no power. But I have, here it is. I've got an undertaking from the head of electricity on my desk. Here it is. And I'm reading it to you. Power will be on before the end of the afternoon. And I said that with hand on heart because I believe it comes from on high. It must be the truth. Clearly, nothing was further from the truth, and yet, unashamedly, no apology, no correction, no timeline. So, I mean, if that's to the media, can you imagine what's going on to the average member of the public that is just an irritant, you know, just for the phone? I mean, it's not good enough, is it? This, and I have one final point before I shut up and let you guys talk. I also read quite with huge concern, we're not quite at peak yet. It's going to get, in terms of pressure, worse. How much better off are we this week, folks? Privy, maybe you can answer that. I don't know.
Thanks so much, Dave, and good afternoon to your listeners. So, Dave, you know, I think the correspondence from Dhokra that was sent to the municipality, I think there's two very appropriate terms in there, and the two being amateurish and inconsistent, because that is the reality. You know, it is simply unconscionable that the economic node in Quadaguza was held to ransom for 5 days. Ward 30 went off on Tuesday afternoon. So their power went off on Tuesday and they were finally restored on Saturday. And, you know, in our correspondence to the head of electricity, and unfortunately we haven't shared the communication publicly yet because we were obviously waiting to come through and join Dion on this platform and then share the podcast with the communication. But we've also asked some very, very pertinent questions. The one being the loss to the local economy, specifically around manufacturing, hospitality, retail. Has that been quantified? The loss to your ordinary residents that have had to waste 5 days worth of food. But there are other questions that come into play here, Dave. And the one is specifically around response times and what mitigation measures are going to be put into place to ensure reliability of supply when we do peak. And like Dion said earlier, the expectation of a response is still fairly early because we wrote a similar communique yesterday, which was the 16th, and we are hoping to get that in the coming days and publicize that extensively, because I think that's important material for you, the media, us as residents, us as stakeholders, and our constituents to have, because it is a critical time of the year.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned the fact that you're waiting for responsible communication, and then you'll disseminate that through responsible media. And I wish to point out at this juncture that I do not consider social media to be responsible, because you all saw over this period the number of false reports from whoever, anyone that had 5 cents to add, they added it and it became fact. De facto, it must be true. I read it on social. Please don't believe what you read on social media unless it's from a verified source. And even then, you know, check and double check. That's
largely because it's reactive media. Yeah. If there was a proactive approach that gave you exactly what's happening that everybody could rely on, you won't have that kind of toing and froing and nonsense. You know, so that is our one urgent request. Oh. But I want to add to what Prabhi said. You know, we can have lightning. We can have strong winds. Those things happen. They happen everywhere. But the ripple effect that that then causes, because of the lack of maintenance and the lack of care and duty in that department for our infrastructure, is what then causes it. Maybe I can ask Walter here, because that's exactly the kind of thing happens. It happens here if it can be isolated and fixed. But now it ripples, and now it becomes a total area for 4 or 5 days. That's unacceptable.
Well, you've alluded to the fact that Walter is in the wings and ready to communicate. And Walter is not only the chair of the Alembic Community Action Movement, you've also got a strong track record in municipal electrical understanding, because you work there. So you understand this grid and this network better than the average. What, in your opinion, has led us to this situation?
Afternoon, Dave. Thanks, and also afternoon to your listeners. So, for me, the primary concern, number one, is, as we've said, lack of communication. And what you're talking about, verified, KDM have various channels available to them. And something that irks me a little is, fair enough, it's been private people that have set up certain outage groups, and then they tell the people on there asking for information that KDM is doing us a favor by being on this group. It's the other way around. We're doing them a favor, because by just putting out a message, they're getting to thousands of people at a time. But in terms of, I find it, so I was vilified in some ways because of my stance on the load shedding, but people misunderstood me. The load shedding was actually to highlight the inadequacies in our department, in our electrical department, in terms of lack of qualified, authorized personnel to be able to carry out switching. From my last engagement with them back in August 2023, thank goodness load shedding is something of the past point. Apparently, there's only got 2 authorized personnel. Now, I had Nursa, I had to get Nursa in to actually get this information out of KDM. And at that meeting, it was stated that in November of 2023, they would be sending additional personnel to get certified, authorized, to be able to carry out switching. And the reason I'm bringing up switching is because, as Dion has mentioned, we have lightning, we have extras, and yes, we're going to have breakdowns and failures. And part of it is, yes, we also would like a responsible community. So when the communique goes out, please reduce load, etc., we would like to anticipate that the people adhere to that request and carry out. But I think as well, at this time of the year, many are holiday makers, people not necessarily always at home, so it's not always possible that they're going to turn off their geysers or their aircon circuits. And the problem is, when they turn on the load, bam, it's a massive spike, and that leads to secondary faults, which no one can anticipate. And my issue here is that if we had enough qualified people to, they could sectionalize, so they can go and turn on mini substation by mini substation to reduce the impact on the load that comes on at once. And that is something for me that we need answers from. And I believe there's still many vacancies in that department that have not been filled.
Well, thanks for clarifying. I was going to ask you what switching entails, but you've explained that very well. Clearly, if there are vacancies, this is an issue that needs to be addressed dramatically, and I'm sure that will emerge in the answers that will be forthcoming, I have no doubt. I wanted to ask you this, Dion, because DOCRA has become a force to be reckoned with, and you have certainly, as far as collating the facts on this matter, done an extraordinarily good and thorough job. There is nowhere to hide now. The questions have been asked. They've been put into the public domain, so everyone is aware of the issues. Failure to address these questions significantly is going to place in jeopardy the entire growth and prosperity of this local economic node. So it's almost an act of sabotage, in a sense, you know, economic sabotage. If it is this critical, and I believe it is, to keep the lights on. I mean, clearly, Walter, you alluded to the fact that load shedding is over. I don't think it is. I see there is a little bit of a hint of it returning come January, but maybe not as much as we experienced in the past. However, we went through 4 days of no electricity because, and this was the trade-off, sorry to interrupt your life for 12 hours, 18 hours, and however long it was, But we're doing it so that you will not have problems when the demand increases and the grid is under strain, etc. We are doing these four separate days of whatever to ensure that this never happens. And that was a pact between us, the citizens, saying, okay, we'll put our lives on hold, you know, our businesses in many instances, because you've asked us to, and you've said that it's to prevent further calamity. We did our part. We didn't go and start burning tires and turning over cars and things like that. And now?
Now we have that problem.
Clearly, you told us nonsense.
Dave, there's the SCADA system, and Walter knows this quite well, which is a more automated, centralized system to control electricity faults and the various substations and so on. And that was to implement that. Had we had the SCADA system implemented in full by now, this kind of thing will probably not happen, because they'll be able to switch on centrally those different transformers and switching gear, rather than having to go manually to go and do them. And they don't have the labor to do so. So the delay in implementing the SCADA system, it should have been completed probably 2 years ago already. It should have been completed. It's phase one is completed. Phase two is they're busy with at the moment. So hopefully in the near future, the SCADA system, another year, let's hope that that would be implemented together with, and maybe Privy can comment on that because I know she serves on the infrastructure committee, the Dukuza power station, which will then give us another 50% added to our capacity. So the longer term seems to be in hand and things are going to happen. It is about how is that maintained and how is that communicated, and how have you got the right resources? Those are probably the three questions.
I think in addition to that, it's about short term and what is being done to mitigate the current challenges. Mm-hmm. And Dave, I think Dion is spot on in highlighting the SCADA system, which is a data acquisition system, and that will allow remote monitoring and switching on remotely. But the second phase of it also seeks to bridge that communication disconnect in terms of informing communities or consumers by section or sectionalized what the fault is and time frames and all of that. So I think eventually when the system does come online, it will mitigate some challenges. Dukuza substation, you know, you've been following it. It's probably another year in the pipeline to ensure some reliability of supply in the southern wards. But in the short term, and Walter made that point earlier about the vacancy rate. So currently in Kwadugusa, in the electricity business unit, or in July this year, when we wrote to the executive director for electricity, there was 41% vacancy rate. And he committed, so this is funded, these are funded positions. He committed that positions were being filled on a weekly basis. That is one of the other questions that we've posed to him, and DOCRA has done the same to say, where are we now? It's December 2024, we're 5 months into a new financial year. How many of those vacancies have been filled? I think another short-term intervention would be a review of the service level agreement that Kwadugusa has with their electrical panel of contractors, because response times are critically important, and that should be contained in any service level agreement. So in addition to the long-term interventions, I do believe that there are some short-term interventions that need to be implemented as a matter of urgency.
Okay. There's another question that I know it was very much in the set over the past couple of days, and people are becoming really angry at the scale of development that is taking place along the Dolphin Coast Strip, where we clearly do not have the capacity. Is it just a perception, and is it an incorrect perception, that this development is taking place on the basis that it's going to be generating much more in terms of rates and taxes and you know, obviously funding wonderful opportunities for the municipal structures to continue to enjoy life in the fast lane. But if we don't have the capacity to power these developments, or to water these developments, or to maintain them, surely this is something that needs to be addressed urgently.
You know, when these developments were planned and when they got their approvals, there was a quid pro quo of what they had to invest. So we mustn't ever underestimate the capital infrastructure that these developers have actually contributed as betterment fees for the whole area, whether they be roads or whether they be electricity. So I do want to come up for the developers there. And secondly, there are agreements between the developers and the municipality, and the municipality would have promised a Dukuza power station, which I first heard of about 7 years ago, which would have been completed about 3 years ago, and now we hear it's going to be completed maybe by the end of 2025. Had that been done on time, had the SCADA system, which got funding, and by the way, the Dukuza power station got international funding and national funding outside of the municipality. And the SCADA system got funding from outside of the municipality. So these are grants that were given. Had those been done on time, we wouldn't have this. And the developers would be fine. So I'm not of the view that we must curtail development. It creates jobs. It creates goodwill. It brings so much extra plus. Every partner must just do their bit. And if they've agreed to it, why are they not doing it?
Okay, so we are all in agreement here, and it's clearly a problem that we can agree to anything we like, but it's not getting through to the powers that be at Guadalupe Municipality and probably Ilembe Municipality on top of that, because we're a local municipality under a district municipality, and I don't know how they talk to each other. There was a time when they didn't, because one was IFP and one was ANC, and it was just a nightmare. And I say that hand on heart, 20 years ago, we had our first attempt at a radio station for 1 month in December. And it was a community station. We had to have both municipalities on the board, and they didn't speak to each other. You must know what a job that was. We pulled it off. It was fantastic. But that's how I know the history. But here is the situation. We've got now hundreds of millions, possibly billions of rand now, on the table with development, etc., and all in jeopardy because we've got a bunch of clowns, and I say that with respect, running the municipality. Because if they can't answer the phone and let the media know what the problem is so we can inform the public and at least keep the ball in play, then clearly they are not the right people for the job. We're talking communication. I know you've got problems. We know we've all got problems. If I have a problem and I can't broadcast, I will tell whoever wants to know so that they are aware of the situation. Because no one is perfect. Things happen. We understand. Life is like that. And if you get the information, you can deal with it. The problem is we sat for 4 days in some cases with Christmas turkeys and things going off in the fridge. And all of this waste and desperation and the exacerbated by the fact that there was so much rumor and misinformation and no effective plan on the table. Wow, that can't happen again. So here's my question. If it continues, where to from here?
So there are two silver bullets, and Pravin knows that, and we're working very hard on that. Now, first one is called performance management. And the next one is called consequence management. And those are the two things that we need to get right. If the performance of the ED of electricity or infrastructure or civils or whatever is not up to scratch, then they need to be held to account. And a proper performance management must be done for that. And there must be consequence management.
And who is going to be holding them to account?
Well, there are various initiatives there. So within the audit committee, there is a dedicated subcommittee on performance management. I'm very pleased with what they are doing. I've seen some good outcomes there where they're keeping that accountable.
Within the municipality?
Within the municipality. But external oversight on the municipality.
So it's not like the fox watching the hen.
I'm sure Privy is doing that. We DOCRA are doing that. And we are hammering on that. And that the third bullet, if I want to add that, is maintenance. The lack of infrastructure maintenance. Where it should be 6%, we're currently sitting at 3.5% of money being spent. Why? It's not sexy. You can't go and cut a ribbon and get a press release because you've oiled the geyser or oiled the machine or whatever the case is. It's not attractive. Much more attractive to build new infrastructure and actually get a press announcement out. So we need to... So performance management, consequence management on the back of that, and maintenance. Those are the three bigger underlying themes that we are all working on to try and get fixed. And it's going in the right direction. Slow, but it's going in the right direction.
And DOCRA is on top of things as an oversight with good people in municipal structures like Privy and her team, who is on site, and I'm very grateful for that. And Walter, you're keeping an eye on things from the electrical overview. So that it seems like there are good people in the private sector that are able to certainly understand the issues. And I would imagine if the opportunity presented itself, would be able to contribute in a meaningful way. And we've been talking public-private partnership forever and a day.
And we're standing ready.
Is it not time now that we actually do this?
Yeah. And co-governance is what we're looking at. That's the term that we're using. Is how can we help co-govern? Yeah. We don't want to just throw rotten tomatoes. Mm-hmm. We're there to assist. We've got the technical expertise. We've got people that are prepared to help. And there are many examples in Ward 22 where Privy is. We've got many examples where the private sector works with the ward councillor in identifying streetlights or yes, whatever the case is.
I've been very gratified to see
that. So those are the kinds of
people in very interesting situations having with fantastic records of performance in the private sector now getting involved simply because it's the right thing to
and
do.
And that's the route we're going to go, Dave. We want answers, we want feedback, we want accountability, but we also stand ready. Call on us, we are there, we can add resource, we can help, we can participate because it's in all of our interest.
And that's where we end it today. And once again, a huge thank you to my very special guests, Walter Schotter from he's the chair of the Alembe Community Action Movement, Privy Makan, the ward councillor for Ward 22, but also she's the caucus whip for the DA in this region. We're very proud of that. Yeah. And Dion Fulion, the chair of DOCRA. Just one more point to make, folks. Hopefully you've got an idea of how important it is for you to be a part of this movement if you care, if you're invested in the future here in any way, shape and form. It's important that you play your part, and all you really need to do is join the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. That's the baseline. From there are opportunities to do more if you wish, but the least that you can do is join DOCRA, add support to the initiative, and together we can make things happen. So thanks so much for your participation.
You,
this,
Dave,
is going up as a podcast shortly, folks. If you have only just joined us or you want to share the information widely, it is a bona fide outlet of communication, not like the social media flim-flam that we talked about earlier. I'm not knocking it entirely. I know that it has its place. But make sure that any information that you disseminate is verified, and fact and fair comment is the order of the day. Once again, thank you to my special guests.
Thanks,
and the
Dave.
Afternoon show.
Thank you, Dave.
Continues.